For thy name is great, Yahweh. Your mercies endure forever. As we enter into the tabernacle to bless you and to shabak you for all things, we do esteem your name above the heights of the Shemayim. As we consider all that you have done for us all, through our trials and tribulations, through the battles that we encounter daily, against our own will, our flesh, against our own stubbornness, against your truth. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for your knowledge being revealed unto the house of Israel, that we may walk circumspectly according to your will. We understand the opposition of darkness as the enemy comes in with such a torrid flood. You do always lift up the standard of your truth, your Torah, to give us strength, understanding, by the power of HaKodash Ruah, to move beyond the limitations of our flesh. You cause us to cry out unto you for your great deliverance in the midst of a world that is so paganized, a generation of people that have lost any perspective as to who you are and what is the identity of the one that created all things. A generation that is consumed with fictitious and false illusions that are surreal, that have no reality of this life and the life to come. We bless you today as you show us every corrupt thing in our own love that cause us to transgress against you, to sin willfully, to do it without understanding, to do it with purpose. We pray this night in this tabernacle as we have come to hear the words of Emunah, the words that will strengthen our faith and cause us to rise in the midst of this dark world, whereby there is no light, very little of your truth you emit. We ask in HaMashiach Yahshua's mighty name that you help us, our Abba, and give us strength tonight. And those that are listening by live stream, whomever they are, we pray for them. We ask you to strengthen Sister Tuck and the children, to help Brother Ron. We pray your strength upon Brother Nathan Hill there in Houston, Texas. We do ask in Yahshua's mighty name for our precious Brother Jerry that you touch his back. You are able to heal your way. He has Emunah to believe you and not allow those children of darkness to cut on him or have confidence in their pharmakia. So we ask you to touch him and to heal him. Wherever they are listening tonight, we ask you to touch Brother and Sister Bradley there and Alex in Ohio, Brother Heath and his family in Canada, Sister Catherine. We ask you to bless her, Sister Pamela, and all those that are listening, whomever they are. We do pray for our young brother, Brother Jordan Israel, or Isaiah, there in Louisiana. Bless the young man and strengthen him. Cause his heart to arise with great assurance. Bless this house tonight as we sing to your honor, as we exalt your name in singing, dancing. We want to esteem you highly, for there is no other name like your name. So we bless you, Yahweh. We do pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. For you declare that they that bless and love Jerusalem shall prosper. So we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for your people around the world, Pastor Babu. We ask you to strengthen Pastor Elder Martin there in Kenya. And such a blessed assurance to hear from Brother Peter there in Nigeria. So bless them all, I pray. Give the brothers strength and touch them all. Wherever they are, our enemies, we thank you for them. We bless you for them. We thank you for that opposition that caused us to cry out unto you as David did. When his enemies rose up against him, he had no hope or outlet but to call upon you, Yahweh. We bless you for your healing power. We pray that you touch everyone here tonight, those on their knees, that your healing power will be manifested as Yahshua HaMashiach. He spoke the words of truth and it went forth and healed those that heard it. So we ask it in Yahshua's mighty name. We trust the witness of that profound testimony in HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. Bless the word tonight that it may be an inspiration to every heart. Give us understanding and strength in this hour that we may obey you in all things. We ask it all in the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. We bless you, our Abba. And all the good oceans cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. For thy word is everlasting, because your righteousness is everlasting. We bless you tonight and we thank you. We pray that the words will come forth tonight with great strength, wisdom, and understanding. It may pierce the heart of those that hear and receive, that they may be blessed, full, and enriched to hear from our Abba. Cause your words to be seasoned tonight as they come out of your manservant's mouth, that he may speak with great clarity and understanding, and that the heart of the people may be enriched. We do want to pray for Brother and Sister Morgan there in Philadelphia, our Abba, as they struggle with the ordeal, their child. We pray for your healing power to rest upon their son, Yeshua. And strengthen the young lad, I pray, with healing power and healing virtue. We ask it in Yahshua's mighty name. We do trust you for the victory. We thank you for the great victory. And we do bless you for all things. And all the generations cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and tell them, Yahweh blesses you. Shalom. You may be seated. For it is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh and to bless Him. Above all things, it is mightily important to know Him in this hour. And the only way we are going to understand Him and to know Him is to understand the power of His truth, to know His Word, to know the impact of the Word of Almighty Yahweh. And if it has any great value to us at all, then it will be an intricate part of our lives. It will be an important value in our lives. And when something has great value, then you tend to pay attention to it. We look at the things of the secular world. When a young lad's car is important to him, he makes sure that every detail of the vehicle is taken care of. Now that is what the Word of Yahweh does in one's life, when it has a great value to them. And if the Word of Yahweh has no value at all to us, then there is not much attention given to it at all. The things that we esteem highly, the things that we believe that are great assets of value, then we will pay attention to those things. If it has no value to us, then there is no importance to it at all. And if you do not spend time in it because it has no value to you at all, and very little time is spent in the Word of Yahweh, that is why a generation is so easily deceived. That's why it is a generation that has no knowledge or understanding. It has no faith at all. Faith comes by the hearing. And that hearing means there is perception and understanding. There's revelation to what you hear. And it has such great value to you that you value the importance of it. You strive to live by it. So when we do not strive to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, it is because it has no essence of value to us at all. It doesn't mean much to us. And when something means much to you, you care about it. You take care of it. You pamper it. You make sure that it is intact and in place. You constantly observe it. You constantly pay attention to it. It is just like one having $1,000 of cash in their secret place. You know exactly how much it is, but every so often they must check on it to assure themselves that every piece is accounted for. And that is what the Word of Yahweh is. It is of a greater value than all the riches of the world. And if it is of that value to us, then it should have great importance to us. And what the enemy has done, he has twisted the mind of this generation that the Word of Yahweh has no value at all. Everything is based upon what we perceptualize or perceive with a corrupt mind that has value. And it has no valuable qualities to them at all. There's only one thing that has value. And that is the Word of Yahweh. His mitzvahs. His truth. His ruah. Because it produced something in the lives of those that abide in it and that trust it. If we do not trust it, we do not walk in it, we will never become fruitful. Our lives will never produce any kind of fruit at all. It is not some kind of philosophy, a philosophical idea. It is a revelation of Yahweh dealing with His house and what He expects of His house. And when we reject that, then there are consequences that pursue us. I want to continue where I stopped on last Shabbat. But I want to read in Giliana, Revelation chapter 6. And I want to read verse 4 again. There are some intricate details that I do want to point out before I proceed a little farther. Yokahan was there in that place, specified by Yahweh to wait upon him, that he would hear from him. Now this is the time that we must be in that place, and that is a spiritual place, whereby we can hear what Yahweh says. He commanded that you that have ear, the ability to hear, to perceive, to understand, we must hear what the Ruah speaks unto his assembly, to his house, his people, his elect, his set apart. Now, if we do not hear, you will not prepare. So when the shofar begins to sound, we must have our ear tuned in to the hearing of a certain sound of the shofar. And so Yokahanan was there in the Ruah to hear what Yahweh had to speak unto him, that he would understand the fullness of this revelation hope that had come in HaMashiach. And as he waited patiently, as he began to receive these profound revelations, they were sealed in his heart, that he would write unto the assemblies throughout Asia, throughout the world, that they would know the value of the importance of the word of Yahweh. Now we must understand that. The word of Yahweh is of great value. It is the only thing of value. Not the silver, not the gold, not the riches of this land. But it is the word of Yahweh that is the only thing that has eternal value. All the other things fade away. You're like a vapor of smoke, even your life. It is only temporal. And then this thing ends as well. So he commands us to hear him. And when one hears, they do not have to ask the questions. One will not need to respond when they truly hear what Yahweh says. And in verse 4 he says again, and there went out another hippos, a horse, this powerful ruling authority, this spirit. And it was red. Now, I want to emphasize that spirit red later on. I will show you the strength of it, the birth of it, the identity of it, the metaphorism of it, what it represents in this hour, what it states in this hour, and the power of that spirit that seduces men that they have no legitimate right to the covenant blessings of Almighty Yahweh. I will show us in Scripture. It is not some figment of my imagination. I will line the Scriptures up for us that we may truly see. He said, I saw this powerful thing go forth and power was given. So someone had to delegate the authority. When something is given, it is delegated by one that has the authority to delegate. So there was an enormous authority and an ability given on to this force that went forth. And it had a purpose. It had an objective. It had a focus, and the focus was specific. It was not distracted from the purpose and the intent of the one that had given it power to go forth. It had specific mandates and commands. Now Yahweh has done that with his house. He has given us specifics. He has given us specific laws. He has given us specific wisdom. He has given us specifics on everything that pertains to this life. Now when we reject that, then there are woes that we encounter. And our lives become very disorganized. We become very dysfunctional. And we do not function in the Ruah or the life of His power in us. We have no identity of that at all in our lives. And so we walk as dead men, as carnal men, despising what He says, rejecting what Yahweh says, and having no true delight in what He commands us to do. Because it is of no value to us at all. So I saw this power go forth with specifics. It was given unto him, first of all, to take, to remove shalom from the old land, to take peace from the earth. That there will be no strength of Yahweh, no soundness. There will be no completeness in this hour. We have very little soundness in this hour. We have very little strength in this hour at all. There is no safety. I do not care where you go. I do not care what part of the world you travel to. There is no safety. Now that is what the shalom of Yahweh does. It gives us safety. It causes us to rest in Him with great assurance. Why? Because there is a great expectation that we have of our Abba. It brings about the purity of contentment. Is this a content generation? Is this a people that is content with foods, raiments? Is this a generation that is thoroughly satisfied with Yahweh for meeting the very need of their lives daily, when much of the world has nothing at all? And so as we see what we call these progressive nations, They are progressive in their God worship and their pagan forms of ritualism. They are very progressive in their economics and their business of prowess. And yet there is no soundness or contentment in the people at all. There is no shalom at all in them. So when one has no soundness or contentment, because the word of Yahweh is no value to them, then there is a seed and a spirit in that one that they do not understand the birth of it and the position of that vowel thing. I will show us tonight now. He says, so he took shalom from the earth. There is no friendship with brothers and sisters. It is one thing that the shalom of Yahweh does. It creates this great friendship, this connection. And that is what shalom does. It is a rest. And if you truly examine the Hebraic meaning of it, that's what it means. It is a great rest. It is a great comfort in Yahweh. And so there is no friendship. There is no true established friendship because there is no confidence. There is no commitment at all one to another because there is no commitment unto Yahweh. In this shalom, there is a covenant relationship. It is the expression of the covenant relationship that we have with our Abba. And our relationship with Him, or our covenant relationship, it gives us assurance as to who we are. And our purpose, what He has called us for, His intentions with us, and what will be expressed in us that will express Him. And we must have the value of His Word in us in order to express who He is and what He is. Without that, we cannot express who He is or what He is and His purpose in us at all. And that is why the enemy uses your own carnal thinking and mind to keep you separated and segregated from the love of the Word of Yahweh. It is not a generation that loves His truth. You can kid yourself, but you don't fool Him. All right? You can make yourself feel good as though because you read a scripture last week, that means nothing to your eye. When one truly engage himself or herself in the true, the word of Yahweh, it becomes a practical part of their lives. And the practical part of our lives is the corruption and the disdain for Him. Not what the Ruah, the Spirit, brings alive, because it brings truth alive in us. It calls truth to resurrect and to come alive. I hope I'm making sense. I believe I am. That they should, first of all, when shalom is gone, that they shall kill one another. That they shall kill, destroy one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now that has a twofold metaphoric indication. It has the indication of the very vengeance and the terror of Yahweh and His strength poured out upon the nations of the world and His people. And it also has the metaphorism of those that Yahweh, this religious whore, this Jezebel, she is a sword. She is the power of death. And Yahweh has raised her up in this hour, that she will be the one that bring death. What is death? Do you understand what death is? Do you have the knowledge of death? Do you realize what death is? She is given a sword, or she is this sword that calls death. What is death? It is the separation from Yahweh. And this sword has separated many from truth, from Torah truth. They have negated Torah to make us think that it is some few stipulations when it is the instruction of Yahweh how to live a life that pleases Him. Now that is what Torah is. And so he was given this great sword to destroy, to bring death. That is what a sword is. It is a sharp instrument to bring death, to sever, to cut, to separate. And that is what this sword has done. It has brought death. And that death is a separation. It is a departing from Yahweh. It is a removing of Yahweh out of one's mind, one's thought, or in one's personal life. Now that is what this sword represents. It represents this religious Jezebel, this religious whore that has removed the Torah out of the conscience of man today. And that is what this Jezebel has done. There is no liveliness of the Torah in the minds of the people today. They have no restraint. It is a lawless generation. I want to read something before I go farther. Listen to this. It says in Sirach. It says this. I think it's very profound. I like the way it is spoken in Sirach, in the Apocrypha. It says this. Listen. It says, all lawlessness, all those that are Torahlessness, or all lawlessness, is like a two-edged sword. Do you hear that? There is no healing for its wounds. So when there is a lawlessness, there is no healing. The wounds that it inflicts, there is no healing for it at all. Can I show you an example? When one walks in lawlessness, for the Torah teaches you how to deal with your neighbor. It tells you as much, listen to me, not what lies in your neighbor, as much that lies within you for you to be at shalom with everyone. And when you are not at shalom, then there is no healing to those festerizing wounds that you have created. It is not the one next to you that has created the wounds. It is your lawlessness. And it is a generation that is lawlessness. It's a generation that stinks. There's a foul odor, there's a stench to it. And it comes because of the birth of the spirit of the Edomites. I will show you. That's why it's there. What is the strength of it? Can I tell you this before I go farther? The strength of it? It is your own bitterness. It is your own bitterness. It's your own bitterness. And when one do not possess the shalom of Yahweh, they're very bitter. That's a bitterness. I will proceed in scripture. Is that all right? Was given a great sword. Now you notice that it was not just a sword. But it was a great sword. It was great authority. It was great power to yield. And this Jezebel, this womanizing, fraternizing religious whore, she has caused death. She has caused men to become lawless. There's a lawlessness, there is a restraint of Torah revelation, and men reject what Torah teaches today. Now, I want to identify her in a few scriptures, all right? It says this, I want you to hear this, it says this. I know that Yahweh in this metaphor is talking about this woman, this adulterous, whorish woman. David says in Tehillim 17:13, he says this. She is the sword. He says, arise, O Yahweh. Disappoint the wicked. Disappoint him. Cast him down. And he says this. Deliver my soul from the wicked. Which is his what?
Sword.
Which is your sword. And this wicked Jezebel today, this Catholicism, this Jezebel that has produced these daughters of darkness, she is the sword of Yahweh. She is the one that is great today. There is nothing like Christianity. She is great. The other religions of the world, they all have this kind of regard for her. And that is the truth. What is Catholicism? Those that are Catholics are not Christians. Totally different religion. The Muslims, they accept her tenets. Yahudism accept her tenets. And so this religious whore, she is the sword that caused lawlessness to fill the heart of man. And when that lawlessness fills his heart, the wounds are never healed. You find people that are so lawless and are so wicked and so vile that there have been things that transpired in their lives and they never forget those things. They never allow them to be eradicated from their conscience or their memory. Do you understand that? Because the wounds of the lawless are never healed. They are never healed at all. It is a lawless generation. The children are wounding the heart of their parents. And the hearts of the parents are never healed. Why? Because it brings about a vile stench of a putrefied sore and it's never healed at all. This Jezebel, she is the sword of Yahweh to bring death. And she is bringing death to the nations of the world today. She is causing death. She's causing the people to become very lawless. There is no discipline of life. There is no Torah instruction. Yahweh instructs his house constantly. You must always be reminded of what Yahweh says to you. It cannot be something that you read last week and think that is sufficient for the next day. Shabbat alone is not sufficient for the first day. You need to move beyond that. You need to become very energized for him. And if you love him, you will become energized for him. The reason you're not energized for him is because you don't love him. Because there's no true compassion for him. Because what is in your left, it is corrupt, it's vile. It is not that there is a love relationship with him. It is not an intriguing of hearing the word of Yahweh. This is a generation that is more intrigued with fictitious fairy tale things than truth. It is moved with folly and frivolity more than it is moved with a love of hearing the word of Yahweh. It doesn't strengthen you at all. What strengthens you is this vile nature of the flesh that spews out everything that is diametrically opposed to Yahweh. It strengthens you in your anger, your wickedness, your vileness, your resistance, your hatred. That's what it does. Yahweh comes to strengthen that which remains in us. And it ought to be a similitude of his Ruah dwelling in us. And his word comes to strengthen the power of Yahweh that is in us. And that's what it should do. It should never strengthen our flesh. It should bring it down to a position that is very humble and thankful before Yahweh. This is a generation that's very arrogant and haughty. And it rises up in the arrogance of its own raw, putrefied flesh. It doesn't want to be instructed. So it's a lawless generation. And he has caused this hippos to ride forth, to go forth in his vengeance. He is using the wicked. David said, the wicked is your sword. And everything that comes out of a Jezebel's mouth is wickedness. She'll lure, she seduce the simple and the foolish. We all were equated to that spirit. She seduces, she draws, she captivates them. How do you know that? It says here in Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. This is what it says. This sword is this Roman pagan system of religious work. Mishlei chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drops as honeycomb. I can sense the Protestantism. And the blessed and call it and name it, the Copelands and the Prices, the Benny Hinn's, their lips are just like honeycomb. Sweet words. Words that never offend. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Nothing more smoother than this religious Jezebel's mouth. Everything is accepted. Everything is acknowledged. Everything is okay. It's not so with Yahweh. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The same metaphorism as the word of Yahweh, isn't it? It's sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. And Yahweh says the metaphorism of this Jezebel. Her lips, her mouth speak very smooth words, alluring words, strong words to captivate you. But the end of her words, when they are finished, they are bitter as wormwood. There's a stench there. It brings about a depravity. It brings about a rejection. Now that word bitterness or bitter, if you search scripture, it is used in different metaphors or in different incidents. It's used as an adjective, a verb, a noun. It's used in different scenarios. And what Yahweh said here, that her words are vile, they're full of stench, they're very alluring, they stink, they cause depravity, they cause rejection of Yahweh, his Torah. Because we want to deny truth, and that's what the bitterness does. When you are bitter, ask yourself the question, does it cause you to fall on your face and to inquire of what Torah teaches, or it causes you to resort to that element that hates Yahweh, your flesh, which is enmity against Him? Does it cause you to resort to that? Certainly it does. That's what bitterness does. I will show an example in Scripture. Now, you are no different than any humanoid. That's why we must be born of the Ruah of Yahweh. That's why you must destroy the works of the flesh and your filthy Ruah. And began to fear Yahweh and began to perfect the set apartness of Yahweh. And so when bitterness arises, it brings about a stench. And there's a reason that bitterness arises in you. It's in the Word of Yahweh. It's there. If we would only take time to inquire of Him, if we had a sincere love for Him, and we just do not have that. You just don't have it. He wants us to love Him with all of what? He said all of a partial. Some are 80%. He commands and He demands. He means what He says. That's why He is jealous over us. Why? You understand that? Because we are untrustworthy people. You can't trust you. That's why women are jealous of their mates, because they don't trust them. That's why men are jealous of their mates. They don't trust them. And Yahweh knows what's in man. How much she knew what was in man. He knew that. Come on, can He trust you to be faithful in your dedication unto Him? Quiet, good. That's why, because He understands your makeup. That is why He gave you the important things that will bring about the resolve of strength in your life. And the matter of fact, that we reject that. And that's our problem. That's our deficiency. That's where it lies. That's why we have no ability, no strength to move beyond the measure of the flesh and to walk in the Ruah of Yahweh. Those that are led by His Ruah, they are the sons. You're not a son when you're led by the flesh. You will create enmity. How do you know you're led by the flesh? Your hatred, your rejection, your sinful nature, your busybody nature, your gossiping, your lies. That's how you will know. Good indictment, Abba. Good. So her way, her end is bitter wormwood. It is death, and sharp as a two-edged sword. That's what she carries in her mouth. And that is what these religious prognosticators and their pumpery ways, that's what they carry. They don't bring or speak the life of Yahweh. This is this Jezebel, the spirit of this whore. She has taken the shalom. You cannot have shalom, peace, unless you understand the security of the word of Yahweh. And you cannot reject His mitzvot, His Torah, and say you have shalom. It's not so. You have a false illusion of what shalom is. It brings about the covenant relationship with Yahweh. When one has that, they will do all that Yahweh commands he or she to do. And He commands us to obey Him and to love Him. Obedience is better than anything. There is nothing more precious than obedience. What parents do not or does not want their child or their children to obey them? There's nothing like an obedient child, is it? Does it cost the heart of the parent or parents to rise with great expectation? When one is not obedient, does it break the Ruah or the spirit of one's heart? Certainly it does. And that's what we do to Yahweh. Has He given us a way, a truth that is unattainable, that we cannot reach the goals that are set before us? As a matter of fact, He has laid the way for us and made it perfect. He has given us the power to resist the forces of hell, to walk in His Torah, and we will have no opposition. If a man loves the Torah of Yahweh, there is no evil thing that shall come now or overtake him. Because we don't love it. Because we don't walk in it. Then all kinds of evil things overtake this people today. We're lawless. And he has sent forth a sword. So it's no shalom. When you have no shalom, you know that you are a lawless, corrupt thing. When you know that you are not at ease with Yahweh, you are lawless. Don't tell me about your circumstances. Don't tell me about your situation. There's a world out there of brothers and sisters that loves Yahweh more than you. And there are great pains of affliction upon them. And yet they do not murmur or complain. Yahweh gives you bread to the full, that we are fat and lazy, shiftless. We still mutter with our wicked mouths. Your babies have milk out of your titties to drink. And we still murmur and we complain. What a Jezebel. What a whorish generation. It doesn't know Yahweh. It is not an appreciation there. There's no thankfulness there. Why should I give him thanks? He says, in all things give him thanks. When I go through a trial, then you ignorant thing, give him thanks. You ought to be able to give him thanks. The reason you can't, because you have not brought your burdens unto him. And they're not burdens anyway. It's just a base of sand in your own heart. That's all it is. It's your own filthy, unclean ways. You don't want to identify it. So this Jezebel is going to rise with great. She's already risen. And she has a sword. The words are sweet. They're pleasant words. We love words like that, don't we? We love words that flatternize or flatter our flesh. We don't want words to cut it. You show us the stench of our flesh and the filthiness. I want it this way. So brother called me on this week, brother Hill. They said, you know, Pastor Roberts, I like the way you preach it because that's the way it should be. Another brother called me and said, Pastor Roberts, for one thing, don't change the way you preach. My brother Jerry, I won't do that. If I do that, then it is me. If I'm led by his Ruah, then it's him. So I will not retract nothing at all, because you're always dealing with the people that's very stiff-necked. People that's uncircumcised. See, your heart is uncircumcised. Well, you have all the circumcision outwardly. You tend to be pious, Shabbat pious, and to look very religious, and to look like you're right, but it begins here. It begins in the inward parts. So we have all the piety and all of this religious trimmings, but it means nothing at all. Your words have no value at all. David says this. I want to read this quickly in Tehillim chapter 64, verse 2. Because I do want to get into the identity of the power of this red force. This very violent, rebellious, revolting spirit. It is a revolting spirit. It rebels against Yahweh. It resists the Torah teaching of Yahweh. And this Jezebel that hath this sword, she has taught her children to revolt against Yahweh. There's a birth there. There are nations, and there are only two nations upon the face of the earth. They are the nation of Yahweh's elect, his people, and the nation of those that are of that red power, like Red China, Russia. They were what we call atheists. They said there is no God. Well, there are many gods. But what they were saying, there is no ruling authority. There's no one to rule or to instruct us from some supremacy mounted in the Shemayams above the earth. That is what they were declaring. And so there was a great revolt. And what we call the red nations, China, Russia, and the Baltic area, and the communist rain in the Baltic and Eastern Europe area. And in the midst of those nations, you saw a great depravity. It's still there today. What kind of a mindset can invent something that is so devastating and so devilish as these nuclear powers that these nations have today? Like America. And we think that she is of the love of Yahweh, she is of the love of her God. The birth of this sword is in this nation. David cried in Tehillim 64, verse 2. He said, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked." And any time you counsel against your brother and sister and your weak, wicked secret little places, if you're a true brother or sister, you will tell your brother or sister their sin and their fault. So he said, "You hide me from the wicked counsel. Don't let it touch me. From the insurrection of the workers, insurrection of the workers of iniquity." Who are the workers of iniquity? Those that are Torah lustness, those that are lawless, that have no regards for the Torah of Yahweh. And when you find yourself in this insurrection against Yahweh, it is because your life is not disciplined by the Torah of Yahweh. It's just about some kind of religious fascism. That's what it is. But it's not the truth of Yahweh. He said, "Who wet they sharp their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows," or even bitter words. My, what a profound statement. Even bitter words. "That they shoot in secret at the perfect," those that are willing, submitted unto Yahweh. Suddenly do they shoot at them, and they don't even fear. "They encourage themselves in evil matter." You will not encourage your brother or sister in evil matter, would you? They encourage one another in evil matters. Is not that what this Jezebel does? She encouraged men. She will not speak of their lawlessness, their iniquity. When one has that spirit of iniquity, they're so lawless. They will not be governed. They cannot be governed. They cannot be instructed. They're not willing to be instructed. They are Torah lustness. They have no power of instructions or counsel at all. And yet they encourage themselves in evil matter. Now that is very vile. That is Satanness there. When one encourage one another in evil matters, when you strengthen one another to do even more evil, when you lie without any thought of impunity, that you're going to be judged for that, when you do things that you know that are totally against the will of Yahweh, they encourage one another. And that's what this Jezebel does. "Oh, I will not tell people of their sins." Yahweh does. And that is what these shamans of this whoreism do. A Protestantism and their charismaticism and their Pentecostalism. I recall many years ago, 20-some years ago, hearing Richard Roberts say, "Oh, I will not tell people of their sin. They don't need to hear that. I will tell them positive things." And so that's what they do today. What is that pervert's name out there at Crystal Robert Shuler Crystal Cathedral? It is a pseudo-philosophical type teaching. Sweet words. It is the power of this red hippos to take the shalom away from the people and to cause them to rise up against Yahweh. And that's what they all do. It is not Yahweh's truth. It's a commune of lying snares privately. They say, "Who shall see us?" Yahweh doesn't see us. He doesn't know what we're doing. Now that's the mindset of the Jezebel. She thinks that Yahweh doesn't see her because she is serving her God. Why is she doing that? She's been raised up by Yahweh just like he did in this instant. People will say that, "Well, Yaakov did very evil." No, it was the hand of Yahweh in this. That red power and the power and the spirit of this red force revolting, rebelling, rejecting the Torah of Yahweh. I want to begin in Bereshit. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 23. Bereshit 25 and verse 23. It says here, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 23. This is what it says in Bereshit. It says, "And Yahweh." Was that who spoke to her? Does it say that? No, I know what it says in other renditions. But it says, and Yahweh said unto Rebekah, that's who he was talking to, Rebekah. He says, one nation, two nation, two people, two strength, two valid identities, two nations are in your womb. And he said, and they are two kind. They're not the same kind. They are different. He said, and two kinds of people shall be separated from your bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people. And what does he say in the latter of that verse? And what? And what? And the elder shall serve the younger. Was that ordained of Yahweh? Do you not understand the birthright of the elder? The firstborn? There is where the covenant relationship existed. Are we the firstborn of Messiah after his resurrection? That is where the strength of the covenant was. With the firstborn. Now here there are two nations. And you always say two kinds of people. And yet I have chosen the younger one to serve the younger one, that the older one serve him. Was that present in scripture? Sure was. Because he did the same with David. Not any of his older brothers. He was the one. He did the same thing with Yosef and not Reuben. He did the same thing with Isaiah and not Ishmael. Same thing with Solomon as well. He chose him instead of Adoniah. He always says that the older shall serve the younger one. Now that's just not the protocol. Well, your uncle was wicked and he deceived. No, it was the will of Yahweh. It was Yahweh's plan from the beginning. Do you understand that? The kingdom of Yahweh suffereth what? Violence. And the violence overtaken by forth. We must press our way. We cannot set on our loyals or set on pious looking and think we're going into the kingdom. There's a great battle. And for some reason we've been doped by the lethargicness and the corruption of our flesh to make us think that we're going to set down all patsy free and everything is going to be right. Not so. Not so. Not so at all. Not at all. There must be a great pressing. There must be an exhortation. There must be a driving force. And the Ruah does drive. In one place it said that HaMashiach was led. And the other place in Luke it said he was driven into the wilderness to be tried of the powers of hell. Now he has led us, but we have been hard-headed, haven't we? It certainly is the truth. And now we've come to the point where he must drive us. If we are not driven, we will not go on in. We are that dispensation of time and hour that you must be driven. This is a generation you can't speak to and say, well, come on. No, you must drive him. We see it in every aspect of life. We see it in the natural realm and the workforce and everything. But they're cutting the jobs and they're going to destroy this economy. It's already destroyed. People are foolish. This is an illusion. This prosperity thing and this get and gain nation that we're in. That deceive the minds of the people whereby there is no love for anything but things. And the things are their gods. Clothes, shoes, houses. That they spend all their monies on things like that. Set our affection on the things that are on the earth, brothers and sisters. On the things that are above. Not on the sexual thing. Hallelujah. And so there were two that were born, but one shall rule the other. It was Yahweh because the elder shall serve the younger. It was ordained of Yahweh. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, see, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out. That was going to come out. He was brown. It says he was red. all over like a hairy garment, and they call his name Esau. Now that's his name. That's the power of this red beast. I want to show you something here. And so it has been with the strength of this red force throughout the world. Red China, Russia. And out of Esau came what we call the Edomites. And Esau was a great, he was a man of blood. Yaakov was a man of tenderness. And that's the way Yahweh's people should be, as sheep. We are worse than goats. We're violent people. We don't regard Yahweh at all. We don't regard one another. That's the mindset. Wives don't regard husbands. Husbands disregard them. And every word that you speak that is idle, you're going to be judged by it. Every word. Every word. Yahweh ordained it. He said in this word, he came out red. His garment, he came out hairy and red. And they called him Esau. Now I want to drop down to the 30th verse of the same chapter. I will show you the power of the spirit, this red. Now this is what this power that has gone forth, it has caused those to remove themselves from the birthright of Yahweh. That's what this power has done today. That's what this sword of this religious Jezebel has done. It has taken away the Torah truth. And I say to you today, all those that are still embellished in what they call Christianity, and they will not allow that Jezebel spirit to be rooted out of them, they have no birthright at all. And that is the truth. You cannot identify yourself with some pagan sun form of worship. We are either the sons of Yahweh, and that's it. We are the believers of Yahweh. We trust in His Torah. We trust in the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach. It says in the 30th verse, and Esau said unto Yaakov, we understand what transpired in this sequence here. He said unto Yaakov, feed me, I pray, with the same red pottage. And that's what this beast is doing today. She is feeding the Edomites, the sons of Esau, the same red pottage. There's a pottage that caused them to become violent against Yahweh. They're violent against His Torah. They will kill you, or you're legalistic. No, Yahweh is just real in what He says. And every word that He says is true. He said, feed me this red pottage, for I am faint, I have no strength, I have no confidence at all. Therefore was his name called Edom, the Edomite. That's why he was called Edom. He says, and Yaakov said to him, show me this day your birthright. Was the transition proper? He said, sell me this day your birthright. Did he lie to him? Did he lie to him? You can't answer that. Did he lie to him? He just said, sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. He said, sell me your birthright this day. Sell me your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of to die. And what profit me shall this birthright do to me? What good is it? What strength is it? Now that is what the Edomites say today. Well, I don't see why we have to call his name. What good is that? I don't see why the Shabbat, if I'm going to die, I could just call on Lord God. And that's good. Not so. Not so. You must understand that this is a transition here. A revelation revealed to a people. And so what Yahweh, when he showed from the beginning, he said, this one, I will cause him to serve the younger one. I will cause this one to rise up above the pinnacle and the height that any expectation could imagine. And that's what he's doing today. He has set his nation and the nation of the Edomites, the nation of darkness, and they have no birthright or no inheritance. They have no covenant relationship with Yahweh at all. Those that abide in his truth, abide in his sovereign power, that his ability to call and ordain, choose and to select and elect. It was not Rebekah that elected Yaakov. It was Yahweh that elected him. It was not Jesse that elected David. It was Yahweh that sent the prophet Samuel to elect him.
It was not the brothers of Yosef that stole it. It was Yahweh put him there because he was elected of Yahweh. And he was the youngest. It was not the one born of the flesh, Ishmael, but it was the one that came by the Ruah, by the promise of Yahweh, whereby his power resided. He gave Ishmael much too. And it was still, so did he give Esau. Esau didn't go away broke. No, he didn't. But he had no birthright. And the Esau's today, they are rich. Houses and land, Esau had it. Sure he did. When Yaakov began to send the waves to abate Esau, he said, what is this? I don't need that. I got as much as he got. But it was the covenant relationship and the birthrights. Do you understand that? And that's why we see the expression of Esau. He roared in the violence. He came in a violent nature. Why? Because he had revolted against Yahweh. He had despised and rejected the right of inheritance of birth. And Yahweh has put a birth in us. He has birthed us by his Ruah. We have rejected that. We despise it and we sell it for what? Trinkets. For trash. For fleshly aspiration and fleshly lusts that will not bring any measure of strength of shalom at all to you. That is the truth. That is the truth. What good is this birthright? What good is the Torah? What good is this mitzvah? They're not relevant today. We're living in a new time. I was reading an article. I'm going to finish this tonight. It was concerning what we call the Orthodox Yardim Jews. They're not the Yardims of Yahweh. And so what we see in what we call Reform Judaism, over the last 4 or 5 years, they have seen an exponential growth among their ranks and files. Because they are Reform and they accept many things. They accept gay marriage, faggots marrying each other, bull daggers. They accept what they call gay priests. They are gay priests. They are not the Kohens of Yahweh. And so these that say they know the Torah and they understand the instructions of Yahweh, they say, hold on. In their conclave, their meeting. And they're saying, we cannot continue to reject homosexuals. We cannot say we cannot marry those of the same gender. Because there are students in Buenos Aires, in Jerusalem, in New York, in Los Angeles, in their schools. They are walking around and they are protesting that there must be gay rights in every man, regardless of his gender, or the woman. She has a right. And so what they have concluded, they're saying, we must accept that because we understand what it says in Shemoth. That a man shall not lay with womankind like he lays with the beasts. You shall put one to death. They said, well, the Torah or the mitzvahs, the ordinance of Yahweh have many kinds of interpretation. These are perverts. There's no birthright in these Edomites. They're in the synagogues of hell. And men are afraid to say that, but I am not. They are not of the birthright of Yahweh. They are Edomites of darkness. They are fleshly. They are not those that have the power of his Ruah at all. Ishmael was brought forth, but he was not the seed whereby the promise was given unto. There was one that Yahweh had ordained. And these Edomites, they choose their lineage, their sons and their daughters, and say, these are saved. They are not right with Yahweh. And that is the truth. They are this Ruah, the spirit of this red, revolting power. And that is the metaphorism of it. It revolts. It rebels. It rejects. It fights Yahweh. When you find yourself fighting Yahweh, your birthright, you have put it on the auction block. What he commands you. When he instructs you and you say, I'm not going to do that. But why is he saying that? I don't see any reason. I will tell you what's in you. I will show you what scripture says in you. I want you to turn quickly. Listen to this. It says in the 34th verse of the same chapter. I want to drop down. It says this. Then Yaakov gave Esau bread and partage and lentil. And he did eat and he drank. And look at this now. I want you to hear this. And he rose up and he went Yahweh's way. His way. Now we tend to do that, don't we? And that's what the Esau's are doing today. The Edomites. They're going their way. How do I know they're going their way? There's a way that seems right unto man. All the ways of a man, they're pure in his own heart. Your bitter complaining, your murmuring, it's right to you to do it, isn't it? Come on and say, help me, Yahweh. Don't sit in your hypocrisy and your falsism. Yahweh's dealing with this house and those that are listening and those that will hear this message. You think he's going to speak a false word, a word that you don't need to hear? Every word is pure. He doesn't send his word out and it'll return on him void. But he sends it out to accomplish what it is intended to do. And he needs to operate on your life. He needs to clean you out. Don't sit here all hypocritical in your hypocrisy. Your self-righteous ways. And he went his way. Thus, Esau loved his birthright. He despised it. With great hatred, with great animosity, he despised his birthright. And that's what the Edomites, they despise the birthright or the death of the birthright. You tell them the name of Yahweh. Well, I don't see it that way. They become very vociferous and angry. They become very violent. And he despised. To despise is to hate it with a great passion. There's no value associated with it. There's no love associated with it. He despised his birthright. You can tell people today and they still despise their birthright. They despise it. When I left on Monday, I saw, many of you all do not remember, but Brother Johnson used to attend Mount Zion. And I saw him. And Sister Roberts said, I thought someone had kidnapped you in there. Because I spent about a half an hour, 45 minutes talking with the man. But one thing that I was very impressed with, that he said, Pastor Roberts, even then when you were fellowship with us many years ago, you had the ability to articulate and to explain things very well. He said, I will not reject what you're saying. I will not fight against you. And the man did not. He heard what I said. He listened. And I said to him, I implored him, search it out to see what is the truth. Search the scripture. You must be gathered to be a sight of all things and see what is real. Those that have no birthright, the Edomites, the sons of Esau, they despise it. They despise the bread. They want the pottage. They want that spirit of revolting and rebelliousness. See, you will not go somewhere and eat whereby there is bread fed to you with oil. You will go to the table of swine. And you will defile yourself. Well, you can't do that. Don't tell me. Scripture says that Daniel will not defile himself with the meat of the king. He will not defile himself. And so you sit down at a table where it's puke, ingurgitation, every kind of filth there is. And the table is filthy because you're filthy. And you sit down and you gorge yourself on filth. You will not come and eat the bread and drink the water. You don't want to eat the bread of life. You don't want that. And that's this generation. We've been brought up that way. We've been nurtured that way. And so what Yahweh is doing now, he's dehorning you. It's tough to dehorn a goat when he gets old. It's easy when they're young. When they're birthed, it's easier to castrate them, take care of that little thing on the bellies when they're babies. When they get old, boy, they fight. Even they're more susceptible to some kind of infection there. And that's where we're infected with all kinds of diseases. No love for Yahweh. We're full of death. That's why our heart do not rejoice when we hear the truth. That's why some of you have no life. You cannot have the power of the Ruach without life. Because it is the effervescence. It is the strength. It is the power of Yahweh. That's what it is. So Esau despised his birthright. He despised his spiritual privileges. Well, what can I do? You can love Yahweh. Can't do nothing. You can't serve him. What is that to do to honor him? To love him with all your heart. He despised that. This generation despised that. Well, it's more to life. What's to life? Because if you have not that in you, you're dead. He despised that privilege. The spiritual privilege. That brought him into the presence of his progenitor. His Abba. His creator. He hated it. We hate that. We're brought into his presence when we assemble in his name. 2 or 3. Well, the word is the strength of our assembly. Will he be in the midst? That's what he said. And this is not a generation that loves that. So Esau, he despised his spiritual right, his birthright. And this generation, they will reject the truth of Yahweh. And when one reject his mitzvahs, they have sold. They are the seed of this of the Edomites. They are of another nation. They are not of the nation of Yahweh. They are the nation of the Edomites. Scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says this in Hebrews 12, 14. When you get that, say, hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, it tells you this, doesn't it? As it speaks to us, Scripture speaks to us, right? It says in Hebrews 12, 14, it tells us to follow lies and gossip. It says follow shalom, doesn't it say that? And the power of this red hippos was to go forth and to take shalom from the earth. So it tells you to pursue that soundness, friendship, love. You follow lies and hypocrisy and foolishness. Does it say follow it? Does it say follow it? And when you follow something, it means that that thing leads you. It said follow shalom with what? With some men or all men? Is that inclusive when it says all men? Is that the whole of the number? Or that's partial? It says follow shalom with all men. Now that's the instruction of Torah. Follow shalom with all men and set apartness, you being separated, without which no person, no one is going to even see Almighty Yahweh. You're not going to even see Him. Do you understand that? Follow. Without that, no man shall see Yahweh. It says in the 15th verse, listen now. Take heed. Is He talking to you or your neighbor? Huh? Look to your neighbor and say, He's talking to me. Come on, do what I tell you. When I tell you to do it, look to someone and say, He's talking to me. He said, take heed lest any man fall short of the free unmarried love and favor of Yahweh. And look at this now. He's talking to you. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, by which some be defiled. He said, many be defiled. Listen now. Lease, that's what this defilement brings. That's what your bitterness brings. When you speak to this generation of the truth of Yah, they become very bitter. They despise Yah. They say, Yahweh, that's not so. They despise Him. He says, lease there be any fornicator, idolatrous, pagan worship, Christianity, Islam, Yahudism. Lease there be any fornicator or profane person. Those that are full of depravity, immoral, filthiness, profane person as who? For what? For what? For one morsel of bread, so what? His birthright. Now, don't tell me that this Esau spirit today in this Jezebel, she gives you a morsel of bread. She tells you that her God wants you to be rich. That is the only bread that she feeds the people. God wants you to have cars and homes. That's all she feeds the people. She feeds them on the lust. Was Esau lustful? He did not have any control over his faculties. He had no power to restrain himself. When you find yourself in that position, there is a spirit of fornication and profaneness there. There's something unclean there. That's the truth. When a man rejects the purity of his wife, finding himself in lust, is there something unclean there if he goes out with another woman? So we think that something defiles us because it is of that nature. Scripture says Daniel will not eat the bread of the king and defile his conscience, his mind, toward Yahweh. He will not be a part of that. He said, just feed me the pork. Just give me some of that there. And when he came out, he was more healthy than them all. Those that ate the king's bread and his meat and the wine. And Esau, this profane person, this fornicator, this religious idolatrous practice that he had engaged in, Do you not think that when he would go out there with that great bow and he would pull that thing and see that deer that rose? Wow. I'm not talking about 20 yards. 40 yards. He had the mastery. He could knock it down. 100 yards, he knew how. He knew the trajectory of the bow, the arrow. Silent. See, that's what that is. So when you knock it down like that, that's what it represents. The blood. All red. I understand the scripture that word red, their implication, even he called David ruddy. And if you look at that in scripture, and if you understand the Hebraic meaning, it is shereth, like a cherubim, shereth. But it has a connotation that, and the metaphor is totally different than the one that is violent and revolt against Yahweh. And when you become so lawless in your conscience, in your mind, your thinking, you become so lawless, you revolt against Torah, the mitzvahs or the mishpatim of Yahweh, you are vile. That's just it. It tells you what the Father pursues. Pursue shalom. Pursue the friendship. Pursue soundness. The security and the comfort of one another and trust. That's what it is. This is a generation that doesn't do that. Hallelujah. You all might as well love me. I'm not going to slow down. Brother Jerry, this is the only way I know how to preach it. Won't preach it any other way. Hallelujah. Wouldn't sell my birthright. I'm not going to be a part of these Edomites selling their birthright for a morsel of bread, for a piece of tin, for a piece of brick, for some wood. Sell my birthright, my covenant relationship with Yahweh, to denounce Torah for some kind of Christianity. I won't do that. I'm going to hold on to my birthright, because in that birthright I have assurance. You understand? I have assurance there. And you cannot take lightly what Yahweh speaks to us, my brothers and sisters. You cannot sell this birthright for this pseudo-religious practice that is taking place in the world. And this pseudo-religious practice, it is about flesh, myself, and I. It is about feelings and emotions. And if your emotions are not satisfied, then you're not happy. Can't be.